We've all got scars, some on the outside and some on the inside. But we can't be defined by our scars. I've spoken with some extraordinary people about how they've become empowered by their scars. This is I've Got Scars, Baby. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, I understand the whole concept of therapy may seem a bit uncomfortable for some, but I like to think of it this way. Some of the greatest athletes you know have had a coach to point out to them ways to improve their game. Some of the most talented actors have attended workshops to improve their craft. And some of the wealthiest CEOs owe their success to mentors. What if we thought of therapy in the same way? What if we looked at therapy as another set of eyes to help us figure out how to get to our next level of success? This is not about stigma. This is about strategy. Without a healthy mind, being truly happy and at peace is hard. The good news is therapy can help. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what online therapy is really about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself and turn your scars into your superpower. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and I've Got Scars, Baby listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/I've Got Scars, Baby. That's betterhelp.com/I've Got Scars, Baby.
And I'm so happy to have Joshua Leonard on the show. I'm really excited. So about Joshua, I mean, you are a character designer. You are definitely a creative. You're an animator, and you are the creator of a show called Team Supreme. Oh my God. Okay, so I just have to, you know, I like to be straight up. I saw this whole team, I saw an article, and I'm like, Team Supreme. Hold on now, what's going on in here? And because it struck me, it was amazing. It's characters who having, and please feel free to jump in there. We're gonna talk. I just had to get my excitement out. But like I saw, and they have disabilities, they're kids with disabilities who have superpowers.
Yep.
And to me, I thought that was incredible, because when I think about I've Got Scars, Baby, and the whole concept of turning your scars into your superpower, I'm just like, that is exactly what I'm looking to do with the concept of this show. And I think it's really important. So thank you so much for being a part of this. I'm so excited to talk to you and to see how you got everything started and what really sparked creating a show like that. So,
yeah, all right. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. What is going on? How did you, because we're going to get into Team Supreme. I want to get into that, but I want to get into you and how you got started in animation.
Yes. Okay. Well, I just graduated in 2018 from the Art Institute.
Okay.
Of Atlanta. So I'm, for the viewers who don't know, a lot of people, my story is pretty much the same. I grew up a military brat from Miami, and then I lived in Alaska and Maryland and Biloxi, Mississippi. So I got evacuated to Atlanta from Hurricane Katrina. So I was a homeless from Hurricane Katrina. But I grew up as an athlete and played all sports, got recruited pretty heavily, but I was always an artist, you know? So, My older brother taught me how to draw when I was in kindergarten, and he taught me how to draw Garfield.
Aww.
And when he taught me how to draw Garfield, like I was like, man, this is dope, man. And I grew up in like a strict household, so I can only watch certain types of cartoons and stuff. So I grew up on Looney Tunes and stuff like that, some Disney stuff. But yeah, I mean, once I learned how to draw Garfield, I never, even being an athlete, I never put the pencil down. I just wanted to continue to grow as an artist. So in Mississippi, there's not many like art schools, anything like that. Animation is not out there real heavy unless you work at a casino or something like that. So it was kind of slow for me.
Yeah.
So I needed to be at like really bright lights and, you know, Nickelodeon right here, Netflix right here, Cartoon Network right here. Just more opportunity. I needed more opportunity. So when Hurricane Katrina happened, I came to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I noticed about Atlanta was like, man, Cartoon Network is out here. Like,
mm-hmm.
it was stuff for me and what I wanted to do. So immediately I started going to like the Home Depot I was working at. I started to get my transfers in place, and then I went to the Art Institute and I got in, and it's on the same street. So I was like, man, I just need a place to stay now. Found an apartment complex, and everything else been amazing ever since. So graduated 2018,
yeah.
Working full-time from 3 to midnight, get off work at midnight, stay up till 3 and 4, studying, doing my assignments and stuff like that. And I did that for 4 straight years, man, and graduated with a 4.0 commencement speaker with Rep. John Lewis, RIP to John Lewis. So yeah, it's been a long road, but I'm very tenacious. And also my brother that I told you about that taught me how to draw, he passed in, I think, August at 41. He died from pneumonia. So when he passed, the next day, Netflix hit me up about a job offer. So it was like his last gift to me. It was dope, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. A part of your motivation for doing the show and creating, I know that you said that you were inspired by your brother, and he's the one that got you into animation and drawing in the first place. So, So are there other elements that you experienced that kind of motivated you to do the show as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So my brother, like I said, he passed in August, but he was the one that taught me how to draw. So I did struggle with depression. Also in 2008, I lost my best friend. He was robbed and murdered. So that's where Dr. Jackson is. That's me keeping his name alive, because he was a good dude and, you know, just unfortunate, only child. So I was really going through a dark time at that point. And you can see it in my artwork too. I was drawing like dark characters. It, you know, I mean, just any villains. And that's how you can always tell. I mean, I tell people, you want to know what an artist is going through, just look at their work.
Wow.
It can be music. It can be artwork. You can tell, like, oh man, wow, that's very dark. But it's a lot of stuff, you know. I struggled with the depression, but I drew. That was my go-to, like, art. So I did that. I was in 2 car accidents back-to-back days. I had to get 5 epidurals. This is all while I was in school. So 5 epidurals. Yeah, man. I was in class and I had to stand up because I can't sit too long where they hit the nerve in your back. But yeah, I was in 2 car accidents at a stop sign, at a stoplight. You know, they totaled my car back-to-back day. So but like I said, it goes with, you know, definitely patience, tenacity. I could have given up a long time ago when Hurricane Katrina happened, and my daughter was born during Hurricane Katrina. So it's like, that also motivated me. Okay, now I got a child on earth. I have to go get it. You know, she has to see her dad in this way, you know? So that definitely motivated me. But Dr. Jackson, that's for my best friend Brent Jackson. So that's where that whole thing came from. So
that's beautiful. That's really beautiful.
Thank you.
Wow, that's amazing. So for all of this to happen within 2 years, like all with Team Supreme and everything just kind of happened. Because I'm seeing you everywhere. I just, you know, I'm seeing you I just see you everywhere, all across, like things are happening. And I'm like, man, he is out there, like articles and everything. So, you know, it seems like you're getting a lot of buzz right now, which is wonderful. So that's amazing that it's happened so quickly. So for you, mm-hmm. as a Black man in animation, do you feel like, you know, I mean, right now there's a lot more happening. You have Matthew Cherry, you have, you know, there's other people who are out there doing their thing. You have LaShawn Thomas, like, but how has that been for you? Have you felt kind of like underrepresented, or how's that been?
Yeah, so I have to go back to when I was a college student. So the first thing I was told at the Art Institute, by the president of the school, shout out to President Mavet, he pulled me to the side. He was like, look, man, going to the Art Institute is not going to get you at Disney. It's not, you have to brand yourself. So even when I was a freshman at the Art Institute, that's what I was doing. Like I was wearing like Under Armour muscle shirt. Like I knew, I wanted the teachers know I'm going to get straight A's.
Yeah.
I'm going to work hard. And then I was branding myself as, you know, exercising and working out. So I always had like, everything was branded. So I had a real system. I always sat in the front, you know, like I said, I made straight A's. So I went there with that type of business mind. Like I was trying to just eat everything, any competition I wanted to go for it. But so I think that's where my mentality came from. But, and I knew in the industry, I don't know what the percentage is now, but it was less than 4% of people of color in the animation industry. So I was like, man, that's unacceptable, man. It was really a slap in the face considering a lot of Black kids watch cartoons.
Yeah.
You know, so me not seeing Black people represented, not only behind the scene, you know, writers' rooms and the animation, the animators, the character designers, like that kind of put a chip on my shoulder, a good chip, you know, like we don't have this, so I'm gonna design this. I'm gonna create this. So I had Team Supreme in 2009. Like I just didn't know how to animate. I didn't know how to animate. I was getting started with character design and stuff like that. That's why I went to the Art Institute.
Yeah.
Originally, I was gonna do everything myself. I was like, I'm gonna learn every single step of the animation process and do it myself. But I'm grateful that it kind of went viral and blew up, and I selfishly wanted to see it for me. That's why I created it. I wanted to see so much diversity and inclusion. I created it for me because I wanted to see something different.
Yeah.
So when I create these characters and the way I design them, you know, I want them to look different. I want a character that's an amputee and all this other stuff. So that's where kind of Team Supreme came from. And I still will continue to show every type of, you know, albinism, every single type of, you know, what society calls a disability.
Yeah.
It's a superpower. It really is, man. I've seen what these so-called disabilities are capable of, and it's unimaginative, like information. Like it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but yeah.
So how did you really come up with the concept for Team Supreme?
Okay,
you said that you wanted to see it, so yeah.
So I grew up, I was raised to, you know, I'm a military brat, so we see everybody, we meet everybody, different looking people, all of, you know, different cultures and stuff like that, different nationalities. So I never was one to, like, fear away from somebody in a wheelchair or just because they look different. And so I was always I try to make everybody laugh, I try to respect everybody. Try to bring everybody together. So I worked at Home Depot in Biloxi, Mississippi, and a friend of mine named Todd, he was telling me, this is where I kind of found out about autism. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, my son, you know, he's on the autism spectrum. And he was just explaining to me how he can watch a Disney movie and then watch the whole movie, watch the credits, and then his son will go back and watch it and name every body in those credits that did what they said they, you know, it was,
oh, wow.
I was like, man, what? And I'm hearing that. And he's like, oh yeah, man. I mean, autism, the way their brain works, like some linear thinkers, some know numbers really well. So whatever they're good at, like they master it. Wow. Like, and it's unbelievable. And that's kind of where it came from. So I started like really becoming infatuated with these different special needs and disabilities. So I just learned as much as I could. I started studying and I was consulting with other people who actually have these certain disabilities, and I just fell in love with it, man. That's where it came from.
That's awesome. That is really awesome. So why do you feel like it's really important to tell this story? You know, like the Teen Supreme story.
Yeah, for sure. So growing up, cartoons, you could almost say cartoons teach kids just as much as, you know, a teacher. You can put anything in a cartoon. You can plug this stuff in, because there's a lot of stuff we don't watch that isn't for kids. Like, they sneak these little things in there. But I feel like if they see themselves as these characters, and not everybody in Team Supreme will have, you know, it's going to be people that don't have a so-called disability. So I want to show that dynamic between them, you know? So I want everybody to see that. And I feel like Team Supreme is going to, like, really break barriers, because people are afraid of what they don't know and understand. So I feel like if we can not only create a dope cartoon, but we teach these, these so-called disabilities as well, and then it'll change the world, really. Because you see what's going on right now. It's like, why? This is 2021, and we still talking about black and white. So it's like, come
exactly.
On,
yeah. Like, when are we gonna grow up?
Right.
So I'm
really tired of that, and I mean, I'm trying to bring everybody together, man, and that's why I want my characters to look a certain way. You know, if I draw a character who's black, I want the character to look black. Like, if you gave it white skin, it won't look white. The mm-hmm. lips are gonna be full, the mm-hmm. nose is gonna be wide, and vice versa. You know, to me, that's real character design. Like, you really go and get those features correct. That way these kids can see these type of characters, you know? So, that's the thing.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay. So what do you feel like is one of the things that people can do? Whoever, like, whatever talent they may have, whatever gift it is, what is one of those things where you would say, hey, this is the work that you have to do in order to have a certain level of success in your mind?
I think like sacrifice plays a big part for me. Like, I'm not a party, you know, I'm a homebody. I'll go out, but if mm-hmm. I have no problem staying at home, you know, like, even as a college student, when I was one of the oldest ones in there, obviously, you know, I was 35 at the time with some 18-year-olds, you know, so after class, they would go home and play video games, but I had to go to work. And so it's like, you have to sacrifice certain things. I know, you know, if you want to be the best, you have to sacrifice some stuff to make that happen. So, and that's kind of where I'm at. And definitely, like, patience. I think a lot of people feel like this stuff is supposed to happen overnight. It's never, like, it's difficult for me. You know, I still work at Home Depot full time. I work for Netflix part time. Mm. So I'm still not there yet where I want to be, but I'm grateful for where I'm at in a matter of 2 years. So it's definitely patience. It's definitely, like, tenacity and just hard work, man. I know those are cliche answers, but it's the truth. Like, it's, you literally have to sacrifice something to go get it, you know. So I've tried to really just really focus on my art. I want to grow as an artist, and that's what I'm continuing to try to do. So I think a lot of people say they want stuff, but they don't really want to. That grind is serious. That grind is serious, man. So that's what I'm trying to teach my daughter. Who's 15. So I'm like, you want to do this, but you really have to dig in and get it. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
It's going to be worth it, though.
I love that. I love that. So What do you feel like is the legacy that you're really looking to leave as it pertains to the work that you're doing?
Yeah, good, great question. I feel like my legacy is what I did for the animation industry as it pertains to inclusion, diversity, character designs, and animation. Like, I don't want to be famous. I don't care about the interviews and stuff like that. I'm grateful for them, but it's like, I want them to know Team Supreme.
Yeah.
And maybe know me for creating it. But other than that, that's all you need to know. Like, okay, Joshua is known for really bringing inclusion to the animation industry when nobody else tried to do it. You know what I mean? So I think that's my end goal, man. Like, if I die, I want them to like say, like, I mean, at least he tried. He did his best.
Yeah.
He tried to do something so different and out of the box where most people kind of looked over it.
I love that. And did you start, do you feel like you started it with that mindset, or do you feel like it just kind of started to evolve into that?
No, I have, like I said, I have a plan. I never cared about fame, but I knew if you're going to bring out a book on animation, I want my name in it as mm-hmm. it pertains to what I did or what I'm trying to do for the animation industry. Mm-hmm. So it's really that easy. I'm blessed to be working with Lena Waithe and Hillman Grad and Jason Weaver and my whole team of, you know, Lena's major, Jason Weaver's major. So shout out to all of them from Hillman Grad, my writer Giselle, who's actually hard of hearing. So, and that's the dope thing about Team Supreme that I didn't mention, like, everybody that has something to do with the show will have like certain, you know, absolutely. The actors.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody. Yep.
Okay. You are just bringing me so much joy right now. Like, I am loving this so much because I think that's something that we don't tend to understand and we don't really see is there's multiple levels of diversity.
Yeah.
And you're bringing that forth and you're bringing it in a way that I think people can definitely receive very easily because, you know, animation, people can kind of align themselves with it and they're like, sure. Oh, okay, that's kind of cool. All right. Yeah. That's interesting. So I'm loving this. I love it so much. What would you say to somebody who has a certain, they have a vision, they have a desire, a dream, and they're a bit more hesitant or reluctant to just go and put it out there?
Yeah, really good question. And that probably happens a lot. You just got to go. You got to do it, man. You got to say, screw it. You know, that's what I did. Like, I was at first, shout out to my attorney, Ms. Gia. She's like a mother to me, but she saw Team Supreme on LinkedIn and she hit me up like years ago and just kept hassling me. Hassling, hey, you need to put this out right now. Put it out. And I was like, man, I'm not ready. It wasn't ready. So that's the early phases and early stages of the artwork. But she saw and she believed in the cartoon. So it's like you really have to, you know, first of all, if you have an idea, get it copyrighted. Handle your of your attorney stuff. You got to get your stuff copyrighted and all of that. But you just got to not live in fear anymore. You know, do it for yourself, if anything. You know, do it for yourself. I'm a mentor, so if you have questions, feel free, man. You have to put it out there. You have to believe in yourself. You got to put it out there. Don't be afraid to share your work. You know, some people don't do it because their work is not copyrighted. They don't want to get it stolen. And I didn't care about that because I feel like I had a certain look that nobody else had and a certain idea that nobody else would even have thought of. So I just didn't care because you are a Black creative in the animation industry anyway. So I feel like you got to do it, man. Something has to stand out, whether it be your artwork, your brand, what you believe in. You got to get their attention. So I'm really big on like social media. I love LinkedIn.
Yeah.
If I can tell y'all, yeah, that's how I think that's how we, yeah. Man, listen, LinkedIn is so slept on, I think. And I tell like younger students too, man, like you need to start really learning. I'll tell you what I did. I remember I was a freshman. I started reaching out to like real animators at Pixar, Disney, and I just let them know, hey, I'm in school for animation. I love what you guys do at Pixar. Maybe, I mean, if you can give me any tips. And it was that simple. And yeah. They were so glad to give back that I would hear back from all of them.
Wow.
So that's how I got picked up at Nickelodeon off of LinkedIn. I got found off of Netflix from LinkedIn and Twitter. But, I mean, it's like your name is your brand. So you really have to, you know, use that, man. Don't be on social media posting crazy stuff because they see that. Mm-hmm. They see that, they'll search that. But yeah, you know, keep everything professional and don't be afraid to put your work out there. Like, we have to see it. We have to see it. You might be sitting on gold.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. I love that so much. I love that. So how can people contact you, get in touch with you, connect with you? Follow you, whatever that is. How can people do that?
Yeah, so my social media on LinkedIn, I'm just Joshua Leonard. You know, that's pretty simple. Instagram and Twitter are the same. It's I'm Joshua Leonard, like I am JOSHUALEONARD. Also have Team Supreme Cartoon on Instagram. Leonard Studios, which is my studio LLC. That's pretty much it. I just use Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So pretty simple. And I'm on Facebook too, but you can just search Joshua Leonard on all of them. It'll pop up.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Like this is amazing. I'm so excited for the work. How is Team Supreme looking? Do we know when we might be able to catch it? I have to ask.
It's certain things that I can't talk about right now. So let me clear this up real quick, because for some reason everybody thinks Team Supreme is going to be on Netflix. That is not true. I work for Netflix. So I think they equated like, oh, he's at Netflix. Team Supreme is on. Nah, we didn't get it picked up yet, but we do have big news coming. I'm not going to speak on it just yet, but it's coming.
I'm working
with Lena and Jason, so it's these are majors. So
oh yeah, I saw the interview with Jason Weaver. I was like, look at it's
that's
happening.
My brother, man. Yeah, shout out to Jay Weaver. That's my boy. Yeah,
Lena, you know Lena already. She's doing her thing. Lena is doing.
She's an animal, man. Man. Yeah, the whole Hillman grad. Shout out the whole Hillman grad. They are amazing. So.
You are working with some amazingly talented people, which makes sense because you are amazingly talented. And I'm so grateful to have had you on the show. I'm hoping people at home are inspired. They're like, hey, wow, this is real. Because right now, what I love right now is that as soon as it is picked up, it's going to get really busy for you. And I'm going to be like, well, I had talked to him right before it got extra busy. And he couldn't even, you know, get on a call with anybody. So yeah. I'm happy that I got to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to send you an invoice when that happens. I'm just kidding. I'm saying, hey, you remember?
Hilarious.
That one interview we did?
Right? I'd be like, hey, you didn't talk to me beforehand, so you can't come back. You can't come back. I love it. Okay.